Well, we're going to finish up our series this morning entitled Jesus is Better. And if you haven't been here for these messages, I encourage you to get a CD or find them on the internet and listen to them. I've been trying to tell you why Jesus is better. Amen?
Amen.
He's better. So do that, please, and God will bless us. We just grow together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I just ask you to open it up and minister to us today. And Lord God, let us leave different than we came. Let us learn. Let us take these things to heart. I just ask you to tenderize our heart right now to receive your word. Lord, this is the day you've made. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you do. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. To begin with, I'd like to share a scripture out of Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. You don't need to turn there. It's a short little verse, and it says this: multitudes, multitudes in the valley of despair, valley of decision, excuse me. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. With every decision you and I make, there is a judgment that is required, and consequently, there is a battle that is set up in your mind. It is a battle of choices between intuitive and logical descriptions, decisions. The dictionary describes intuitive decisions as instinctive, perceived, or concluded without the benefit of reason. It describes logical decisions as sound reasoning based on the information available. Now, I want to repeat these descriptions so we can get them down into our hearts and understand. The dictionary describes intuitive decisions as instinctive, perceived, or concluded without the reason, without the benefit of reason. It describes logical decisions as sound reasoning based on the information available. Now, the intuitive part of our brain does most of the deciding for us, especially when it comes to everyday decisions like how to walk, where to eat, and how we should respond to varying situations. However, the place in the brain where logical decisions are made is slower in operating, slower to arrive at a conclusion. Some of the researchers about this even say that side is lazy. That's because intuitive decisions come easy for us, While logical decisions require more time, making the process a bit more difficult. Now, intuitive decisions are not only responsible for most of the decisions we make in life, but they are also responsible for the mistakes we make in life. That's because they are formulated by the pain of past mistakes and or negative emotions. Even on a particular day, if you're feeling good or feeling bad, it will make a difference in your intuitive decisions. The problem, however, and researchers tell us this, when we allow our fast-working intuitive system to make tough decisions, we are most likely to make wrong ones. And have you ever made a wrong decision? Amen. Amen. You see, our intuitive thinking is clouded by systematic mistakes known to psychologists as cognitive biases. They are developed and kept in our storage system. So our cognitive biases affect future intuitive decisions. So what you experience tempers or decides how you will decide things in the future. These types of decisions prompt us to spend impulsively, to be overly influenced by what other people think, to enter into wrong relationships, and become involved in other bad behaviors that will ultimately hurt us. Then within our minds, between the two seats of decision making, there is a bit of a chasm or a break, if you will. So if we are basically intuitive in our thinking, it will be hard to look at things logically, vice versa. Therefore, one way of thinking will not automatically change to the other way of thinking as we observe a situation evolving and need to make a decision. We just can't change from intuitive to logical. It doesn't happen, or the other way. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we all used the logical part of our brain with every decision? Wouldn't it be nice? However, if you did that, no doubt you would have little emotion. Amen? Amen. You'd have little emotion. But hallelujah, you wouldn't make so many mistakes. Thank you, Jesus. We are accustomed to the intuitive side doing most of the deciding for us. In fact, we make thousands of decisions with it every day. Really handles the bulk of our decision-making process with ease. So the process, the daily challenge for us, is to train ourselves to know when a situation requires us to transfer a decision over from the fast-acting intuitive part to the logical part of our decision-making process. Y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Typically, this is where people get stuck. We have a hard time doing this. So if we have a serious situation and we don't want to make a quick decision, we attempt to delegate it to the logical part of the brain to obtain a well-thought-out answer. Unfortunately, this process is very difficult because nobody wants to slow down. Nobody wants to slow down and think about all the variables, right? This wastes our time, and it prevents an immediate decision. It would take mental energy to stop and ponder when we have none to spare, right? And often it takes a sacrifice. It takes a sacrifice. Why is all this bad? Because we want things naturally. We want things resolved quickly, right? Instant gratification is what we're after. It's what we want. We want what we want, and we want it now. Amen. So we rarely slow down enough to allow logic to participate in the dilemma. And so between these two places of intuitive and logic, many people simply get stuck. They are just unable to make a sound decision. Now, just think about our decision. What career path do I want to follow? Should I buy or rent a home? Where should I live? Should I get on a budget? Should I save money or not? What kind of person do I want to marry? Should I attend a church? What kind of church should I attend? Should I become a follower of Jesus Christ? All of these and thousands of others are essential. They're decisions we must make, amen? And they're life-changing, and they require much thought. Much thought. Sadly, though, many of us allow the intuitive practices to direct important decisions. Sadder still, logical thinking rarely operates in the major stuff of our lives. So Joel says to us in chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "Multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Obviously, multitudes are stuck in this valley of decision or indecision, if you will. Now let's consider what a valley looks like. Valley is simply a low area of land between some hills or mountains. Now think about it. Are you often surrounded by mountainous decisions, struggling to come to a perfect conclusion? I believe we are. How often is this true in spiritual things? What happens when a person is stuck in a decision concerning Jesus or the church? What happens? Even though they may do nothing, nothing is still a decision. Amen? Amen? Other times, folks will determine to do a little something, or perhaps to make a small commitment. Maybe they will decide to attend church occasionally or to volunteer sporadically. Most people would determine to give a token of their time, talent, and treasure, but they won't obligate themselves or become completely faithful in these areas. Even attendance at worship service is intermittent, only to have their mind 1,000 miles away, focused on other intuitive decisions for later in the day. And why are they unable to dedicate themselves to these things? Because they live in this valley of decision that Joel talked about. No wonder they cannot completely and wholeheartedly commit themselves to become followers of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is better. Amen. Jesus is better. The saddest scenario is that people become comfortable in the valley. People become comfortable in the valley. If they would ever decide to get out of that valley, they must do a bit of climbing, right? Amen? They have to fight against the forces of gravity. They have to overcome some obstacles and some hurdles. They have to leave their comfort zone and go to work. They must ultimately sacrifice the valley life. But folks, listen to this. The view is much better from the top of the mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Your position for battle is much better at the top of the mountain than it is in the valley. And when you finally make that all-important decision for Jesus Christ, it definitely becomes a mountaintop experience. You are living on a mountain when you become a believer. You are living on a mountain when you become baptized. You are living on the mountain when worship becomes a reality in your life. You're living on the mountain when you hear the word preached regularly at a church. You are living on the mountain when you become an active part of the ministry of the gospel. You see, for most people, these are easy decisions. Easy, because they are using the intuitive decision-making process. These decisions are emotional, and the emotion is wonderful, but most of the time, there is not enough thought about the commitment Jesus wants you to make. So after the intuitive decision, a logical decision must be made. And a logical decision says, I will study the Bible, understand all I can about what it is saying, then will I live by its teachings. Now let's consider a Christian who lives by faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we talk about faith, we realize people make decisions both intuitively and logically. For some, faith is easy, like a child. That's intuitive thinking. For others, faith comes much harder. These folks need to be shown, things proven to them. This is logical. This is logical thinking. So if you're a logical thinker, this is what I encourage you to do. Get into this book, the Bible, and allow Jesus to prove to you that He is better. Amen? He is better. Begin a personal study of the Scripture. Attend the adult Sunday school class and come regularly to Wednesday evening open church where we discuss Scriptures, amen, and ask questions. Hallelujah. Listen intently to the message on Sunday morning. God's Word will deepen your faith, providing that pathway out of the valley to the mountaintop. Amen. So make a wise decision. In fact, today, make a decision to make a decision. Amen. Get out of the valley of indecision. Get out of the valley of indecision. Why? Because Jesus is better than what you're doing. Amen. Jesus is better. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, says this, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Let's say it again. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Now, Elijah got weary of the people serving two gods. Got weary. They couldn't seem to make up their minds. Would it be God or would it be Baal? I believe God is asking the same thing of mankind today. How long will you reside in the valley of indecision? How long will you vacillate between two opinions? A decision must be made. It must be made, which is better, the world or Jesus? Amen? The world's thinking or the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. Amen. Old-time preachers would invite us and encourage us and urge us, saying, get off the fence. Get off the fence. Make up your mind. You just can't keep one foot here and one foot there. It won't work. Either Jesus is better or he is not. Either Jesus is better or he's not. Elijah announced to the children of Israel, it's either God or Baal. Now, you and I as Christians have a decision we must make. We must make this because we recognize that Jesus is, without a doubt, better. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 16 in your Bible. John chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 13 through 15. Holler when you're there. John 16, starting with verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, who is that? Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, this is Jesus talking. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, the Holy Scriptures tell us that Jesus only spoke of what the Father told him to speak. He only represented the Father. He didn't represent himself, right? So here in John, we read that the Holy Spirit will come and represent Jesus to all born-again believers. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So the Holy Spirit represents Jesus in our life, my life, in your life. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus in our life. Now, listen again to John 16, verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. Obviously, then, whenever we refer to the Holy Spirit within us, we're still talking about Jesus. Right? In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus said that. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, if you study the book of Acts, you will see that it was a typical, a normal, and natural event for a person to first be saved and then baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is God's design and desire for all Christians. All Christians. Over and over again in the book of Acts, people would first receive Jesus as their Savior, and then they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me, folks? The Holy Spirit enters the believer at salvation, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives the believer an additional flooding of the Holy Spirit's presence. A glass with water in it, or a glass with water in it submerged in a pool. Everybody see that picture? Through the Holy Spirit's increased or multiplied or magnified presence, the believer then receives power and equipping to do, sometimes even supernaturally, whatever Jesus desires of them. So here's a decision that Jesus is asking you to make. Will I remain as I am, or will I make a logical decision backed up by a thorough study of the Word to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You can either make an intuitive decision today, taking me at my word and submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit, or you can determine to study it out to make a logical decision about the empowerment of believers. Either way, there's a decision to be made as a believer. Do you have a desire to fulfill God's purpose? A desire to walk in the power and anointing of Jesus Christ. You can read of the exploits of the early Christians. You can marvel at the miracles done in the name of Jesus. But are you willing to make a decision to surrender to Him, allowing His Holy Spirit to indwell in you and overflow in you? It's a decision that Jesus is asking us to make. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' way is better. Jesus' way is better. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus declared, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." He went to the Father. The Holy Spirit came in power and might. Then Peter spoke in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, "For the promise," that promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, "for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Did he call you? That promise is for you. Answer his call today, folks. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. We need to make a decision. When you're only saved, Jesus is your Savior. But if your desire is to make him Lord in your life, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, after years of studying this Bible, years living a Christian life, take my advice. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must determine to commit yourself. You must submit to his plan. Because Jesus is better. Jesus is better. We talked a little bit about this same topic in Sunday school, and it's so funny that these things work together. We talked about the decline of the Christian church right now. And I believe because we no longer, churches as a rule, no longer talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think we have a bunch of Christians that are not empowered. Therefore, the gospel message sets in the church. Doesn't go out. Are you with me, folks? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a natural step in your Christian walk. It's the very design of God. It's what he wants from each one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. His plan is good. He would not hurt you in any way. He loves you with a love that can't even be explained. And he wants you to carry on his work in this earth today. Amen. Wow. What an obligation. Can we do it in our own strength? No. There's no way. Said Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Isn't that that something? So not only do I want you saved, I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Speak in other tongues as the Lord gives utterance. What do you do, Brother Jerry, when you make a decision? Well, I tell you, often I pray. But I pray in tongues. I pray as well in the natural, and I pray in tongues. I want God's will. I want to be empowered by Him. I like my intuitive decisions and my emotion that goes along with that. But I also need to be logical in the decisions that are life-altering. And folks, you can study this word all you want. And what I'm telling you is the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to beat it in your head. But you wouldn't like me if I did. That's how much I believe it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Back in the 70s when I got saved, people lined up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today it's hardly mentioned. Isn't that sad? Major teaching of the Word of God, and it's hardly mentioned. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah.